Lord Jesus, you are almighty, all powerful, you're the bread of life. You're faithful, you're true, creator, and you're light of the world. Thank you for this ministry, and thank you for this church and for its leaders. Thank you for the gospel that changes lives, for the hope of spring, and for the message that you have for us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear what you'd have for us, and pray that we don't just listen, but we apply so that we can be more thankful for what you would give us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, good morning. I've been asked to talk to you again this morning about gratitude. So I thought we'd start by telling the person next to you what you're most grateful for this morning. Go ahead. Talk all morning about how grateful you are. So I hope that was just a good way to start, and it kind of aligns our thoughts just with gratitude, right? What would have happened if I said, let's start this morning and tell the person next to you how terrible this morning was, or how that's terrible, right? It just kind of brings your whole morning down. So I've enjoyed preparing for this topic. I wouldn't say that I was perfect at this. I was talking to Erica, and she's like, oh, I'm so looking forward to your topic. I've been really working on it, and I text this group of friends about grad. I'm like, oh, that's really good. Maybe you should do the talk, because I feel like when I was writing this and thinking about it, well, there's a few things, but I was very convicted, first of all. I was like, oh, I can be a bit of a complainer. But then also, it just was such a, it was very fun. It just aligned my life with him. I love preparing for teaching Bible lessons or topics. So it was a very fun topic to think about. Even though sometimes I was like, oh, sorry, God, sorry, yeah. But anyway, so it's helped me to focus more on Thanksgiving than all the things that we can easily complain about. And I would say I've had a hard year this past year. I had my father passed away in May, and my daughter has Crohn's disease, and it's been an extremely difficult year for her. It would be easy to get lost in the day-to-day. And God in his grace, he shows me daily that he has plans for my life and my family, and to trust him with the details. However, if I was not in his word or in prayer, I would be so easily focused on myself and my difficult circumstances. Which leads me to start the next topic with the gospel. The gospel is the very reason that we can do hard things like give Thanksgiving when circumstances are hard. Charles Spurgeon says in his devotional Morning and Evening, think of the mighty love that drew him from his throne to die upon the cross. Admire him as he conquers all the powers of hell. See him risen, crowned, glorified, bow before him as the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, for only in this way will your love for him be what it should be. And when we do this, Thanksgiving will automatically pour out of us. Now, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior personally, then I would say this whole thing is not going to make sense to you. It's not natural to give thanks in hard circumstances. And if you are not sure if you are going to heaven today, then I would urge you to make that most important conversation with your mentor or your leader today. Deciding to follow Christ will change your life, and it is hard to find someone more thankful than the person who has just been saved. They have a new heart, a new soul, and they cry out in gratitude to God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us that cries out in gratitude. So if you are a believer and we're believing that God is at work, sovereignly controlling all of the contingencies of your life, blending them all together, each component to lead to a sovereignly designed goal for your good and his glory, then God gives you the strength to handle anything in life and be thankful, because you know it fits in God's ultimate plan. God plans for our lives are always better than what we have. And he does not need our help. He's an infinite God, and he knows all things. His ways are much bigger than ours. And we know this and take this as truth, and that we'll have peace that passes all understanding. So when my daughter was in seventh grade, we changed schools. We went from a public school to a Christian school. And this was harder than I thought it was going to be. My daughter is Emily, and she's kind of quiet. And then the other girls, they already had their groups. So she sat at the table by herself at times. And as a mother, you just want your kids to be happy, right? We're always like, oh, you know, how can I fix it? How can I make them happy? But my prayer has always been for both my kids that they would know Jesus personally and grow in their faith. That's my ultimate goal for them. And that's why we changed schools even, is that they were going to a school that we didn't agree with some of the things that they were doing. And I thought, well, I know that God is not leading me to homeschool. Not that there's not anything wrong with that, but that was going to be not my strength, for sure. Actually, this is a side note. I don't know if I have time for this, but when I was trying to teach her in kindergarten, she'd be so mad. Oh, it's recording. Okay. Well, I was teaching her. She won't listen. To read when she was in kindergarten, and she took the book. If you know her, she's very sweet. But she took the book out of my hand and threw it across the room. And I was like, okay, we're done. I actually don't care if you ever read. I'm all done. All done. So I knew that that was not going to be my thing, is to homeschool. But anyway, that was a side note. Can you delete that off the thing? So that year was a pivotal year for her walk, though. She grew in her faith more that year than she ever had. And so I was very thankful looking back now. I'm like, oh, God used that in such a mighty way. And so 2 years later, she was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which has been extremely difficult. She has MREs, colonoscopies, endoscopies, harsh medicines, infusions every 4 weeks, and lots of pain. So I am so thankful that she has that strong faith to help her go through the life with this disease. It's a lifelong disease, and she will always have it unless a miracle happens and they come up with something to heal it. And we have a song. We have a song about God making all things beautiful, and we play that before difficult doctor visits. We pray together. We lean heavily on God for his healing and guidance. And this has made her even more stronger in her walk with the Lord and deepened our relationship as well. So my point in telling you this is that we do not know why God is doing what he is doing sometimes. And again, it looks like he needs our help. He doesn't. But I promise you, he is fully, fully capable. God who created everything, God who gives life and breath to everything, God who gives every good and perfect gift, is the one and the only one to whom all thanks is to be rendered. If we look at our situation with eternal eyes, our problems and circumstances look small, and he looks big. He is constantly molding us into his image. And it's hard to give thanks when our husbands have been laid off, when we hate our jobs, when a family member has passed away, when our children are sick, when family members are being tricky, when the weather's gloomy, when our children are fighting, when our life isn't what we had in mind. Satan is always there to remind us what is wrong with our lives and ready to feed us lies. Lies that God is not there, that he doesn't care, that things would be better if we married someone else, not married at all, had different parents, if our kids acted differently, if I was healthier, if my kids were healthier, if I had a bigger home, blah, 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 blah. Grumbling and thankfulness are in conflict with one another. If you are giving gratitude, you won't grumble. And if you are grumbling, you're not going to give thanks. Psalm says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. The hiding place. Has anybody read The Hiding Place? A lot of people probably have, but yeah. Okay, one. Just kidding. The Hiding Place is a book by Corrie Ten Boom, and it is the story of Corrie and her sister Betsy during World War II. They were hiding Jews in their house because of their Christian convictions. In the book, she tells the story how her family was caught and thrown into a concentration camp, and then eventually getting moved to another one. And they get put into a cell, and when they went to go to sleep, they couldn't sleep because it was infested with fleas. This becomes Corrie's breaking point. She tells her older sister, I cannot do this anymore. And her sister says, I know what to do. I was reading in my Bible last night 1 Thessalonians 5, and it tells us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks always. Let's pray right now and give thanks. Give thanks for the guards and for the God placing us in the cell with all these women that we can tell about Jesus. And let's give thanks for these beds that we are in. And then, Corey, let's give thanks for the fleas. And Corey says, nope, I have a line. I am not giving thanks for these fleas. And Betsy says, yep, we're going to give thanks for these fleas because the Bible says all circumstances. So they did, and they give thanks for the fleas. And over the next few weeks, Corey and her sister began a Bible study in their cell. It grew and it grew, and they were having worship services in their cell, which were illegal in the Nazi camps. So they got to thinking, how were we able to do this? And the guard never come in and stop our worship service. And they never found out until they were released from camp. And they asked the guards, and they answered them. The guards would not go into that cell for one reason. It was the fleas. So the one thing they wanted God to take away is the one thing that he used to bring the entire cell to Christ. Complaining is easy. It's contagious. And I'm sure it would have been very easy to fall into complaining in the concentration camps. I have a beautiful home, and it's easy to complain in my home. So I cannot even imagine how easy it would have been in the concentration camp. Did people have reason to complain? They sure did. Is complaining helpful to your soul and to others that hear it? Complaining is not only toxic to us, but to the people we are complaining to. John MacArthur says, we live in a thankless age. On one hand, you have people who have more than they've ever had. But you also have people who know that there is more yet that they don't have. So no matter what they have, they don't have everything they could have. So they don't have everything they want. So it gives way to a terrible kind of unthankfulness. This is why the Bible talks about thankfulness over 200 times, to caution us from falling into an unthankful and grumbling spirit. It's important to be purposeful about our things. If you're unhappy, it is helpful sometimes in prayer to go down that rabbit hole of why. Why do I want a bigger house? Why do I want a different marriage? And talk to God about it. I've had times in my life when I've been talking with God. In the middle of my prayer, he has changed my thoughts. For example, my husband is a pilot and a financial planner. He's a thinker. And I read this to him, so he knows I'm saying this. I was like, is that okay? Are you mad? You doing okay? But anyway, he's a thinker, and he is slower and more thoughtful on how he does everything. And I usually am very fast-paced. I talk fast. I move fast. I make quick decisions. And I was praying as a young wife. I said, Lord, please speed him up. Can you make him faster? Because it is just really hard. And then I said, except, Lord, except when he is flying, and then slow him down. Make him very careful. And then he said to me, I felt that he was like, that is exactly why I made him. I made him for a reason and for a purpose. And then I was like, okay, so I need to slow down. And that is just one of the many ways that God speaks to us in prayer. We have an amazing God, and he's so worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. I would encourage you, when you pray, that's why we did it this morning, as you start with, and I thought we could do that, well, you guys can do whatever you want. It's your thing. But I know you guys pray at the end, so I thought it would be fun to try the names of Christ. You first start with the names of Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Creator, Great I Am, and then you go into a Thanksgiving. And you thank God. You thank God for this time that I have in your presence. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my bed. Sometimes you can't think of anything, and you're like, thank you for my bed. You know? Thank you for the fleas. And then you go into praying, and that's when you give your request up to him. It's helpful to pray this way to God and to help us to live a life of gratitude, because then it aligns our thoughts with him. Living a life of gratitude also means being in God's Word. I love to study His Word and be involved in the study. This helps me to have a focus when I am in His Word. I know Bethany has many studies available, and Ruth, I'm just putting a plug. Ruth is coming this summer, so be looking for that and get signed up. These are good ways to grow in your faith and be encouraged by sisters in Christ. Find those relationships that hold us accountable. Also, having a good church like Bethany, being involved, is also a way that we can be live a life of gratitude. It's helpful to have strong Christian friendships, people you can do life with and that can encourage you in your walk with Christ, and apparently can text every night and say how thankful you are for things, which is fantastic. Does anybody want to be in a group of thankfulness with me? That sounds great. I found my closest friends through Bible studies and through what used to be called MOPS. I'm aging myself, I know, but I used to be a MOPS, and it was one of my favorite things. So you guys all should be very thankful that you have this time. It's a really sweet time. Our jobs as moms are to not live our lives. Our jobs as moms are not only to live our lives with gratitude. Okay, that made a lot more sense. I was like, that's strange that I said are not to live lives of gratitude. But also to help our children to live lives of gratitude, right? Things I have done to point my kids to live a life of gratitude is when I would put them to bed when they were little. I don't put them to bed anymore. They're 15 and 17. I actually think they would not mind if I did that, but I think I'm all done. So anyway, I would do the ABCs with them. And I would go through, let's go through the ABCs. So, and that would, of course, go on for a long time because you're going through a Z, but we would go A, and it was for the attributes of God. So A, God is awesome. B, that's where he was in the beginning. C, he is the creator. And then we would just go on down the line and we'd just be thinking of things that God, and it would just make their minds think about something bigger than themselves. And then when they were arguing, they hardly ever did that. Just kidding. Just kidding. They still do it today, obviously. But when they were arguing, I would make them hold hands when they were little, and they would have to tell each other 5 or 10 or 15 things that they love about each other. And this was kind of amazing. I mean, I tell young moms this now, that if they want to do this, it is, I feel like that was a game changer, because it just, you know, they were, and then they'd hold hands, and then they'd start laughing, and it just would change their mindset towards each other. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, you said that you love me as a brother, or you love me as a sister. You know, sometimes you'd have to help them because they'd be like, you know, be summering, I love that you opened Christmas presents with me. I'm like, well, you're like, you have to kind of, sometimes you have to coach. I do have to tell you that. Or you know, like, hey, you climb trees with me, and it's like winter. And I'm like, all right, let's work on that. And as they got older and they would do things, depending on the crime, I would make them write papers and tell me and write the other person of what all that they love about the other person. And then they'd have to read it to the entire family. Let's see here. So this would help them realign what they think of the other person, get their minds off of being grumbly or negative towards that person and more thankful, and the other person would be softened. And so then raising kids, they have lots of opportunities to have these conversations with our kids. And they love to hear about it. They just want to sit and hear about how they could be more thankful. Not really. But it doesn't matter. It's our job to tell them how to be more thankful. And a good way to do that is obviously by example, right? When you find yourself grumbling, switching that tone and being like, oh, I need, you know, thank you for, you know, being more thankful, kind of switching the whole conversation. So my point is living a life of gratitude, it's hard. It's not natural, as I said earlier, and it's very purposeful. Sorry, Erica, you shouldn't have told me that before, because I'm like, but it's such a purposeful thing. She's like, I think that was such a great example. Like, let's all text each other and give each other a time of that we can all say what we're grateful for. That's a purposeful thing. It doesn't just happen. Thankfully, God does not tell us to be thankful and then leave us at that. He said, be thankful, but he also says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He gives us the power, the Holy Spirit, to do these hard things. And life is hard. And the Bible said there's going to be trouble. And he said that, and it didn't say, we'll probably have trouble. It says, there's going to be trouble. And so what are we going to do with that trouble? Are we going to sit and complain and make everyone around us miserable? Or do we look and thank God that he gives us manna every single day? He is so faithful, and he is so good, and he is ready to be our strength. So, I have my might have been fast. I have no idea. But I do have a couple things, though. Is there anybody? I don't have to. But is there anybody that journals? Like, are you a good journaler? Like, you love to journal? For real? Okay. Is there anybody? Okay. Yeah. Who? Oh, yes. Here. I want you to have this. It is a journal on gratitude, and it says things. You have to be grateful. Okay, and is there someone that's going through something hard and they're like, oh, I would love to switch my attitude. Actually, you know what, Erica, I'm going to give this to you. Yes, I want you to have this. This would be so good for your thing. You could be like, well, I was looking at yesterday's gratefulness, and you can say all the things, or you can find a home for it. I don't care. So anyway, so that's all I have for you today. 21 minutes. All right, let me stop that.